The test pilots have nothing but praise for the Dreamliner's first flight. NetJets cancels 90% of its orders with Hawker Beechcraft. And lasers may replace radio signals for in-theater data links. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, December 17, 2009. Boeing 787 Chief Pilot Mike Carriker and Engineering Test Pilot Randy Neville had nothing but praise for the behavior of the Dreamliner on its first flight Tuesday over Washington State. After originally filing a 5-hour and 44-minute flight plan and departing Payne Field at Everett, Carriker brought the plane down on Boeing Field's runway 13 right after 3 hours and 5 minutes with weather conditions deteriorating. The next flight will come within a week or so after the installation of additional test and telemetry equipment. Boeing has planned 9 months of aggressive flight testing that will eventually involve 6 planes. NetJets has canceled 90% of its outstanding orders with Hawker Beechcraft. The move will have the effect of lowering HBC's backlog of orders for aircraft to about $3.5 billion. The Wichita Eagle quotes HBC as saying NetJets was not going to be a significant source of revenue in 2010, as all of the deliveries were not scheduled to begin until 2011. In a subsequent news release, HBC had this to say, quote, "Because of the unique nature of the NetJets contracts, the aircraft which would have been delivered to NetJets were not expected to contribute significantly to the company's expected earnings in 2011 and beyond," unquote. Translation, there wasn't much profit margin in the NetJets deal anyway. Hawker Beechcraft expects to report an operating loss of up to $15 million for the fourth quarter of 2009 and an overall annual loss of over $700 million. A new technology being developed for air-to-ground communication is called FSO, for Free Space Optical. The U.S. Air Force says it has successfully demonstrated the use of the laser-based technology to send 2 simultaneous high-def video streams and a gigabit Ethernet connection to a ground station from an aircraft 60 miles away. Any military project must have a clever acronym. This one's called EAGLES, for Enhanced Air-to-Ground Laser Comm System. The pointing, acquisition, and tracking technology was developed by Aoptics Technologies. The laser itself is said to be eye-safe. Aoptics CEO Dean Senner commented, quote, "In-theater operations requiring real-time dissemination of persistent intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance information are no longer limited by the data rate constraints of today's radio frequency networks," unquote. Up next on ANN, the FAA is looking into an MD-80 wing scrape in Charlotte. French investigators still hope to find the Flight 447 black boxes. And the deadline for replacing your paper pilot certificate is at hand. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4 for Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 17th. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA is looking into why an American Airlines MD-80 landed erratically in Charlotte, North Carolina Sunday night, scraping a wingtip and partially leaving the pavement during landing in poor visibility. The agency would also like to know why it took American 4 hours to notify it of the incident. The Wall Street Journal reports the airliner was making an approach to Charlotte on autopilot in drizzle and fog about 10:45 p.m. Eastern Time when crew members were alerted they were somewhat off course. The crew made a determination that the autopilot was acting erratically and decided to hand-fly the approach. They disengaged the autopilot at about 300 feet AGL. American's procedures require a go-around in the event of a problem identified below 1,000 feet on an instrument approach, but apparently that didn't happen here. On touchdown, the left main gear left the runway, getting into soft ground. According to sources with knowledge of the event, as the pilots corrected the swerve and got the airplane back on the runway, the right wingtip hit the ground. Nobody on board the plane was injured. Preliminary internal airline data indicate the crew had been on duty for about 14 hours before the landing attempt. The FAA and NTSB are reportedly looking into pilot fatigue and judgment as factors. The French Accident Investigation Authority, BEA, says it will resume the search for the cockpit voice and data recorders from Air France Flight 447 in February. The flight went down in heavy weather on a flight from Rio de Janeiro to Paris on June 1st, claiming the lives of all 228 people on board. The boxes are thought to lie in mountainous terrain, on the ocean floor at great depth. Reuters reports the French government is expected to release a report today detailing how the voice and data recorders might be located and recovered. The audible pinging signals they release exhausted their battery power a long time ago. If you'd like to read the National Transportation Safety Board's report on Northwest Flight 188 for yourself, it's now posted on the NTSB website. Go to www.ntsb.gov and look for the small link in the middle of the page that says Accident Dockets. Click it and you'll get a page with hundreds of titles sorted by date. Scroll down to the only link dated October 21st, 2009, also labeled Minneapolis, and it will take you to all 400 pages of the board's preliminary report. Flight 188 was the one that overshot Minneapolis by 150 miles while the pilots weren't paying attention. NTSB says a probable cause report will be released later. The FAA issued an emergency revocation of both the pilots' certificates. Among the new details in the docket, the pilots claim to have tuned to the wrong radio frequency in the handoff from Denver to Minneapolis Center and subsequently been aware of chatter, but say they never heard their own call sign. It's been almost 2 years now since the FAA announced it would be replacing all paper airman certificates with plastic that'll be much harder to counterfeit. Well, that deadline is now approaching. The purpose of the change is to upgrade the quality of data and documents to assist federal, state, and local agencies in enforcing the nation's drug laws. The FAA reminds pilots they'll not be able to exercise flying privileges using an old paper certificate after March 31, 2010, with the exception of temporary certificates or a student pilot certificate. There are two ways to replace your airman certificate. You can request a replacement certificate online. That requires you to register with online services. Or you can request it by snail mail. The cost for a new certificate is $2. Get more details in the text version of this story, dated December 15th, at aero-news.net. Still ahead, trees have shut down night instrument approaches at Gillespie County Airport. It's raining presents in Micronesia. And soon we may have jet fuel made from chicken fat. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, December 17th. I'm Paul Plack. Protracted negotiations, which have delayed removal of some trees from Lady Bird Johnson Golf Course in Fredericksburg, Texas, have now resulted in an FAA shutdown of nighttime instrument approaches to the adjacent Gillespie County Airport. The trees impinge on airspace needed for the instrument approaches. Gillespie County, which owns the airport, has offered to pay up to $300,000 toward tree removal and the repairs needed to the golf course after it's done. The city, which owns the course, wants $800,000. A consultant says the job shouldn't cost more than $400,000. In the meantime, the FAA says the ban on night instrument approaches is temporary but indefinite. The Fredericksburg Standard Radio Post reports that Fredericksburg Mayor Gerald Hoover and Gillespie County Judge Mark Stroer are planning to meet soon to try to resolve the impasse. The longest-running organized airdrop in history is underway for 2009. U.S. Air Force C-130s will parachute more than 20 tons of donated items to Pacific Islanders throughout Micronesia during the 58th annual Operation Christmas Drop, now through Saturday. The operation began in 1952, when in the spirit of the holiday season, airmen gathered what supplies they could, packed them into a canister, attached a parachute, and dropped the goods from an Air Force WB-50 to waving residents of the island of Kapan Gamarangi. In the year since, more than 800,000 pounds of much-needed food, supplies, tools, and toys have been dropped to thousands of residents living on remote islands. Today, the men and women of the Pacific Air Forces, the University of Guam, local government, businesses, individuals, and professional and charitable organizations work together to raise money and collect merchandise to deliver toys, clothing, fishing equipment, sporting goods, food items, and tools to the remote islands and atolls in the area. And finally today, the Department of Energy is partially funding a project that will allow an Iowa company to start producing jet fuel from poultry fat. Elevance Renewable Sciences plans to build a $15 million addition to its existing biodiesel plant in Newton, Iowa, that will use it along with other feedstocks to produce biofuels. The Associated Press reports the facility would use plant oils and poultry fat as the base for a number of products that are now petroleum-based, including lubricants, cosmetics, adhesives, and jet fuel. Chicken fat, of course, is not without its own environmental risks. A truck carrying the stuff overturned on a Wisconsin interstate highway in 1998. It closed the road for 3 days while crews tried solvents, high-pressure hoses, and shovels to remove the slippery mess. Procter & Gamble finally sent a truckload of Dawn dishwashing detergent, which was used successfully in cleaning up the mess. Yeah, you could say I'm off on a tangent, but I never miss an excuse to retell one of my favorite news stories of all time. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. We're presenting a two-part look back at some insightful comments from general aviation leaders in 2009. Today, Gulfstream President Joe Lombardo tells us what's been effective in fighting bizjet bashing. And Cirrus Design co-founder, now free agent, Alan Klapmeyer, discusses what we need to do to revitalize GA. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.